This is Sonny Smith, and you're listening to the AU Wishbone.
White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 705.
You're listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye-bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins!
Shivers just ran through a man! Touchdown, Auburn!
From the spectacular White Rocket Studios in downtown Southern Illinois and Eastern Virginia, it is the AU Wishbone Podcast. John, how are you?
I'm just laughing at the description of your area as downtown.
Yeah. Oh, it's down, all right. I don't know about there's some towns, and it's down, but I don't know about downtown. I am your host, Van Allen Plexico. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
Well, John, we got as we've done the last few weeks, we have both football and basketball, various things to talk about tonight. Auburn's visit to the NCAA tournament was not a long stay, but it was more than one day, which is good, and we continue the streak of never having lost in the round of 64. Now, to clarify, some people will say, well, Barkley lost his first year. Ah, but there were only 32 teams that year. So we've never lost in the round of 64, never. And that continued. We had a big win over Iowa, and then 2 days later had a big win over Houston in the first half. But unfortunately, basketball is a game of two halves. And indeed, it was a game of two halves on Saturday. And we can talk about that. So what's new with you, and what do you think about things?
I'm still, like a lot of Auburn fans, trying to process the end of the basketball season and how I feel about this team and what they accomplished this year. And was it success? Was it good? Did it meet my expectations? And so I want to talk about that tonight a little bit, because it's always easy to be, you know, disappointed in the wake of, you know, for every team but one in college basketball, the season ends with a loss. Right? I would say every team but two, because the other one team wins the NIT. But for every good team that except one, the season ends with a loss. And so sometimes that's a tough pill to swallow. But yeah. I think it does. One of the things that we are good at on this podcast is having some perspective about stuff.
Sure.
And helping people work through their issues after a loss.
You know, the thing about basketball, it's a long season. There are a lot of games, and then it just abruptly ends. You know, and that's the thing too, is it doesn't just kind of spitter spatter out. Well, as long as you get in the tournament, right? It doesn't just spitter spatter out. You get on this emotional high. You're in the NCAA tournament. It's Thursday or Friday, and you're in the NCAA tournament. Woo! And then you win a game, and you're like, yes, we win. And then, boom, and it's done. Yep. And, I mean, I was on such an emotional high at halftime against Houston. I'm like, come on, baby, just bring it home. Just bring it home. Just 20 more minutes to go, and we've got one of these amazing upsets, like when we beat St. John's in the second round, number one, in 86, you know, or something. Or like we beat North Carolina when they were number one. Yeah, we've knocked off number one twice, at least. We did something in 85 that was pretty big, too. I know we did some good damage. So, I felt like, you know, we've got a real shot here. I didn't think we had a chance going in the game. But the way that first half was playing out, I'm like, if we can keep doing this. And then I should have known, right? I should have known, because they've done that so many times this year. They've expended so much energy and effort getting a lead, and then it's inexplicable. They just can't hold it. The other team adjusts and does something, and we just, what was working before quits working. I felt like we should have kept going to Broome inside and keep making them foul us. I mean, even if he's missing his foul shots, they're not going to have any players left if they keep fouling us. But we didn't get anybody to foul out until almost the very end. Their big guy at the very end fouled out with like a minute to go, and that was the only one. So there was a lot that was really enjoyable and exciting about that game, and there was a lot that was very frustrating about it.
I think that's the truth. I mean, it was really literally was like the best half Auburn could play and the worst half Auburn could play in the same game, which made it really jarring.
Yes.
To go from one to the other, because we literally could not make a basket in the second half.
Yeah, we went like 15 or more minutes with one made basket in the run of play in the second half. And if you're not making free throws, and I had a little note here, we missed 17 free throws and we lost by 17. That's not even counting missing other shots and all the blocks and everything. If we just made our free throws, the game would have gone to overtime. So, the turnaround in points, we were up 10, and I forgot what the numbers were in the second half, but it was something like 53-20 or 50-23 or something in the second half. Just unbelievable.
Because we were up 10 and we lost by 17, so there was a 27-point disparity in the second half between our score and their score.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, we held on for a very long time. It's not like they, like, immediately took a big lead after 2 minutes in. They made runs, but we kept them at bay for a while just playing defense. But when you're not scoring, your defense only goes so far. And that's been pretty much the story of this team this season is – they'll go on incredibly long, cold droughts of scoring, and they have to rely on their defense, and there's only so much you can do with defense. At some point, you have to score, or you're not going to
win. Well, and especially against a normal team, the defense is good enough many times. But Houston is one of the best offensive teams in the whole country and one of the best half-court defensive teams, and they, you know, against them, you can't stop scoring. You have to keep up.
Yeah.
And Auburn didn't have the firepower, the success offensively in the second half to do anything.
But think about this. We led Alabama by like 17. We led we led Houston by 10. This team showed that in stretches, it can play with or outplay anybody. The only team that really lit us up all year was Kentucky in Rupp Arena. Other than that, because, you know, Houston didn't really pour it on until the very end when it was pretty much done. We were with them.
100%. You think about the schedule this team played. They only lost three, including this one, they only lost three games by double digits all
exactly.
year.
And this one, we led by 10.
Yes.
So even games that we lost in a big way at the end, we were competitive in for much of the way. This team just had some glaring flaws, and it played around them, it overcame them, it compensated for them, but there were simply too many times that it could not paper over those flaws. Having shorter guards, lacking a real superstar player, lacking a consistent scoring threat.
Consistent outside shooting.
Yes, they just had to use smoke and mirrors, and they did amazingly well with this. I mean, seriously, the smoke and mirrors got them to the second round of the NCAA tournament.
Go ahead.
I was just going to point out another weird oddity is that this Auburn team has won two NCAA tournament games since this is a crazy statistic I'm pulling out of my rectum right now as we speak, okay? How many games did we win in the 2019 NCAA tournament? The round of 64, the round of 32, the round of 16, the round of 8. So four, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. The Auburn Tigers have won six NCAA tournament games since the last time they won an SEC tournament game. That is insane.
It is insane, but I believe it.
Auburn has won six NCAA tournament games since they last won a single SEC tournament game. That's like a tweet I would send out about 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Tuesday. So you can expect that one to come along any moment. But that's crazy.
But you were talking about this team and the smoke and mirrors bit. I think that when I think of this team, I just think of like that kind of they never quit. They would never thought they were out of any game. They could look across the court and see five NBA guys, and they're like, we got this. We can beat these guys. They believed it. They did not doubt themselves, and it allowed them to keep coming back and keep coming back and to play with the intensity on the defensive end that they needed to be in those games. And so I think they, you know, we always joked about with Alabama, you got to put a stake through them or whatever. That's how this team was. They were not going to go away, and they weren't going to be intimidated if the other team made a couple of big baskets or whatever. They were just going to be like, okay, we fine. We're in it. Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, you know, we can point out the flaws and the problems, but that doesn't mean we didn't love them, didn't root for them every second of the way, and didn't believe and hope and trust. And I really did think that they were going to find a way to win that game there once it started. And it's just too bad. If they had, I mean, I think that Broome was a pretty good replacement for Kessler. They were different, but, you know, there were pluses and minuses either way. We just didn't have a Jabari Smith this year, and that was, I think, the main difference. You take the season that we just had, and you put an outside shooter forward that can put you what 15, 18 points on the board a game. They beat Houston, and they win an SEC tournament game or two maybe, and they. They do better in the red. They win some of those single-digit losses.
Yes.
They'd have looked a lot more like the 2020 team that didn't get to go to the tournament because of the COVID thing.
I don't know if you know this. On the power ranking statistics, this team was ranked higher than that team.
Wow.
That on the apps like KenPom and Net and those things, this team was ranked higher than that team that we think of that didn't get to play in the tournament as being really good.
The 2020 team, they had a really good record, but they had some inexplicable losses along the way. They had some really weird, like, I went to the Missouri game, they lost to a Missouri team that was very mediocre. That's some weird losses.
I think the SEC as a whole was not as good that year. Like, yeah. It wasn't nearly as good as it is now.
That's fair. That's probably fair, yeah. Yeah. So, all right, let's look at some more post-mortem here. Most free throws we've ever taken in an NCAA tournament game. And, of course, we probably missed more free throws than we've ever missed in an NCAA tournament game.
I'm sure of that.
Broome missed 10 just by himself. Good gosh. How does he miss 10? That just guts me. That just kills me. Because he was doing exactly what he needed to do. He was getting fouled. He was getting to the line. And if we'd offensive rebounded, that would have kind of mitigated some of that. But he was, you know, we were missing free throws and then not getting the rebound.
They're a great rebounding team. They killed us with their offensive rebounds. And you're right, we couldn't get a rebounds after free throws, especially when Broome was shooting.
Yeah.
But also, like, Broome and Jalen Williams, we didn't have the muscle, I felt like, to be able to score and get the foul against them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, our guys would get fouled, but they were not putting the ball in the basket. Houston was like, nah.
It wasn't going to be an and-one ever. Right. No. It was – you got the sense that Houston's plan in the second half was just foul them.
Yeah.
Just don't let them shoot. Yeah. Just foul them.
No, we're not letting Broome get a clean shot ever.
Make them miss. Make them earn it at the free throw line, and we couldn't do it.
That's right.
God, I mean, because if we had hit our free throws, then we could have stuffed that right back at them and said, yeah, okay, here you go. But it worked. They were right. If you don't let us have the easy shot – make us go to the free throw line, then we couldn't do it. 40% of our missed shots in the second half were blocked. That's exactly what we're talking about. 40%.
Yeah. Well, that's the other pit too, is that it wasn't just the fouls. It was that anytime we got close to the rim, they blocked it. They did a great job with that. Yeah. They had good timing, and some of it was, you know, frustrating. Some of them were shots I'm not sure we should have taken.
Mm-hmm.
But that,
and some of them could have been more fouls,
really,
but.
Yes, 100%. Or they could have been more fouls on the calls that were blocked. But that's really disturbing.
It must be what it felt like to play against last year's Auburn team when we were doing that to everybody.
Yes.
Remember?
100%.
There was a stretch.
Other teams felt like this.
Yeah, there was a stretch in January and February when we were doing that to everybody, and they couldn't figure out how to stop us. I guess we should have pushed their guys directly under the rim like Miami. Hey, Miami, by the way, that reminds me. Miami's at it again. You see that? Miami won last night. They're off to the Sweet 16 again. They're always they're an interesting team. Let's see if there's any other – yeah.
I wanted to put it how bad it was after halftime. Like,
yeah.
After halftime, we shot 16% from the field.
Good God.
0% from three-point range and 58% from the foul line.
Which is awful. And we didn't even try that many three-pointers in the second half. And Trey Donaldson wasn't even in the second half hardly at all.
Well, he was in the second half for a couple of minutes, and then he was scared to shoot. He did. He had the ball at the three-point line and didn't shoot, and I think that's one of the reasons they took him out. Like, if he's going to be in there, we needed him to do it, and he didn't. Like, he had the ball at least twice with a look, and didn't take it.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, KD's never had that problem, and he
no.
But he didn't get many shots either. In fact, it didn't seem like he played all that much in the second half against Houston. It seemed like we limited it to kind of like five guys, and they kind of played the whole second half. I mean, Cardwell didn't play a whole lot in the second half. Chris Moore didn't play a whole lot in the second half. It seemed like it was kind of like our starters played the whole second half and weren't able to do anything.
No, I think that's probably fair.
Well, conversely, that Iowa game was awesome. That made us 7-3. I guess we're 7-4 now. Yeah, because that was the fourth NCAA tournament. Yep. We didn't win the national championship, any of them, so that's four losses. So we're now 7-4 in the tournament, tied with Sonny Smith for the most wins in Auburn basketball in the NCAA tournament. Yeah, because 85 was our second year in the tournament. We won two games. 86, we won three games. That's five. And then we won in the opening round in 87 and 88. So seven for Sonny, and Bruce has got, what, three openings round wins and a Final Four. So yeah. So four plus three, yeah. So we had more. So New Mexico State, Kansas, North Carolina, and Kentucky. Yeah, we had more NCAA tournament wins in 2019 than all the other years under Bruce combined. That's so weird. That Trey Donaldson had a good game. There was that one stretch in the Iowa game where Trey Donaldson and KD Johnson together hit five three-pointers in a row. And it, for just a moment, John, for just a brief shining moment, it felt like 2019, didn't it?
It was really fun there for about 5 or 10 minutes in the Iowa game. That was the basketball was good, man. It was fun. Kids were having fun. The three-pointers were going in. The team was having a great time.
Oh, my goodness.
It was really, really fun to watch.
That's amazing. Yeah, that was so good. And then we just kind of held on and did what we had to do. And I tell you, it's especially – I had nothing against Iowa, but seeing them, like, emotionally distraught, that felt kind of good, I had to be honest. I didn't feel bad for him. I'm like, yes, you have been bested by your betters. Weep bitter tears, Iowa Hawkeyes. Name your school after a MASH character. This is what you get. Weep bitter tears. You go husk your corn, non-corn husker, corn growers. But, yeah, that was a lot of fun. And I wasn't sure we were going to win
it. I enjoyed that game immensely.
Yeah, I wasn't sure we were going to win it. I mean, I figured this might be the first one we're out in the first round, you know. So,
sure.
But it was good Auburn that showed up, not bad Auburn, and you never know. So, a few things that we do know kind of going forward. Well, what do you think about this season overall? Because I feel like while there were disappointments and while it could have been better with a few – and we know we had missing pieces and we – you know what? This year's team to me is the literal living definition of it is what it is. You know what I mean? In other words, we had what we had and we had to make the best of it. This was not the lineup we hoped it would we would have throughout the season. And it just kind of worked out this way, and Bruce and the staff had to cope with it. They had to do the best they could with it, and I think they did.
I agree with that 100%. I mean, I think, you know, if you think about this season and you play it out in a computer simulation 100 times,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think this outcome that we're in is kind of on the, you know, above the 50% of the good side of the outcomes, right? The 100th percentile is like Westry and Trahor are like freshman All-Americans.
Right.
And we make a deep run in the tournament. We win a bunch of SEC games. We're, you know, and we're a national contender, right?
And maybe we even get that guard from Missouri or whatever and have
extra.
That's
right. You know, and then and Jalen Williams takes a huge step forward and these other things happen. And so, and the other, you know, and like the worst 10% scenario is like, you know, the freshmen don't do anything. The team doesn't stay together. They have a lot of real even more inconsistency. We lose some games really badly, and
it
have some real dysfunction and stuff. It's on display, and a lot of kind of even more kind of guys taking their own shots and not playing team basketball and stuff, and it kind of disintegrates that way, and that did not happen. I just think you're 100% right. With the recipe that they had, the ingredients they had, you can only cook with what you got.
That's right.
I think they did a good job of achieving what they could with that group of players. Now, is Bruce Pearl satisfied with that? No. He wants to have a better roster and do even better in the future. But as an Auburn fan who's watched a lot of terrible basketball over the years, we won 20 games. We had a good record at the conference. We went to the NCAA tournament, won a game. That's success for me.
That's absolutely.
I know some people will be like, it wasn't good enough. Whatever. And I'd be like,
yeah,
you know, I'm good.
I here are the things that I wish, if I could change three things in terms of outcomes, I'm not talking about player personnel or anything like that. If I could magically change three outcomes, we would hold the lead against Alabama and Tuscaloosa, because that would just gut them and they would hate it. Yeah. I'd hold the lead there. I would win an SEC tournament game, because I just feel like it's ridiculous that we can't win an SEC tournament game. We haven't won an SEC tournament game since the Final Four year. And the only times we've won an SEC tournament game were Bruce's first year and the Final Four year. That's the only time we've even won a game in the SEC tournament. It drives me nuts.
It doesn't drive me as nuts as it drives you.
I know. It just, to me, winning one game in the SEC tournament is just a basic requirement of a decent team. And I know that we've had teams. We've had better than decent teams.
Fair.
And yet, in the SEC tournament, we play like the bottom half of the conference. And we're not the bottom half of the conference. I don't know how, I like that we go around saying we're blue bloods, but blue bloods don't lose the opening round of the freaking conference tournament every single year. You just don't. You beat whoever.
Maybe these blue bloods do, man.
I guess. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, who did we even play this year? I can't remember. I remember Texas A&M. Yeah.
Arkansas, who is getting ready to go to their third Elite Eight in a row.
Well, they're going to the Sweet 16. We don't know if they're going to the Elite Eight. Who are they playing?
They're playing the winner of the Fairleigh Dickinson game last
week. Oh, jeez. Okay. Well, then, yeah, they're getting ready to go to their You're right. I take it back. I didn't realize. I thought they had an actual schedule, but they benefited from that bracket. Like, Alabama's benefiting from their freaking bracket. But, okay, so I would win an SEC conference game, a tournament game. I would finish off Alabama. And I would play a better second half against Houston. I think that's the three things that I would change in terms of outcomes, right? I don't know if there's probably another one. I mean, there were so many close games in February where we were like right on the cusp. You know, the Alabama one jumps out at me, but there were like six over the space of, you know, January and February where, you know, any one of those, if we make a couple of free throws or we don't foul, getting mostly foul trouble.
The road game of Tennessee, the road game of West Virginia are two in my mind. They could have gone one shot.
Yes.
And they're different.
So next week we're going to talk about where does the team go from here? Where does the program go from here? And we'll look at all of that. I do want to note that we've already established, though, that Zepp Jasper is gone. And he doesn't have any more. There's not even a technicality that brings him back. He's done. I did I saw an interview with him where he said that he had always thought he'd end up going into like broadcasting and commentary and stuff. And I can see that, kind of do what Damian Fishback and some of the other guys do. But he said that Bruce, I think, has been kind of putting a bug in his ear that he might want to think about coaching at least first, you know, if not permanently. And he's getting kind of excited about it. And I liked what he said. He was talking about how Bruce and his other coaches have pointed out to him that he's very motivated. He's a good motivator. He's a good leader. He's likable. And they've been pointing out to him that those are good traits that a coach can have. And particularly, he was saying, in reaching out to players that are maybe overlooked or kind of, you know, don't have the that need a leader, need a motivator, need somebody to pick them up and kind of, you know, I'm not saying it the way he did, but you get the idea, right? That a coach that could come out and kind of get the best out of them. And he said that's very appealing to him. And he said he'd love to end up on the Auburn staff someday because he loves Auburn so much. And that's awesome. I like that when players come here, they don't have usually don't have a bad experience. They usually end up feeling about the way that we do, which is very good. So I hate that he's gone, but I think he's the only player on the team that doesn't have any way of coming back. I think everybody.
That's the truth.
And what's astonishing is that Alan Flanagan could come back. I mean, there have been football players that didn't seem like that seemed like they played through three coaching staffs. In fact, there's some on the team right now that have played through three coaching staffs. But you know, we have had football players that seem like they played through four coaching staffs that didn't seem like they were in Auburn as long as Flanagan has been. Flanagan seems like he was on Bruce's second team almost to me. He just feels like he's been on the team. I can't remember an Auburn team without him at this point, basically. So that would be weird if he came back again. I don't think he is. I think he's going to say, you know, I think I'm done with college basketball. And I couldn't blame him for that because he did look more like himself this year, right? He showed flashes of his old brilliance, his sheer athleticism. Man, if we could have had that last year, we sure could have used a little of this year's Flanagan or 2 years ago Flanagan last year when we needed it. But anything else about the roster before? I know we're going to get into it more next week or whatever, but in terms of players and kind of like how you think about the season?
I just think, you know, they kept getting knocked down and getting back up. You know what I'm saying? Those losses, those last-minute losses in February, like you referred to, those would have crushed some teams, and they would not have been able to get back up to play the way they did against Iowa and Houston.
They were resilient, emotionally resilient.
Yes.
They shook it off every time. Mm-hmm. They never got super down on themselves. If there was ever any locker room bickering or bad chemistry, we never heard about it. And I tell you what, that's one thing that Bruce really seems like he has done from day one till now, is the players seem to gel, they seem to get along, they seem to play well together, there doesn't seem to be a lot of selfishness and everything, and that's usually a credit not only to the players but to the coaches.
I think they're careful about the kind of players they recruit to help with that kind of stuff, but you're right, it is a credit to both of them.
Yeah. One other last little thing, this was cool, is that yesterday, and by yesterday we're recording this on Monday night as always, so Sunday, was Mira's birthday, and Amy went and got Dylan Cardwell, who's their favorite player. Amy and Mira both love, they love Cardwell. Because he posts all of his videos of him doing wacky things before the games and after the games and when they were in Israel and everything. You know, he's always doing wacky, funny stuff. He's very big dude with big personality. And he has a tiger, so that has an appeal too, because he's got a stuffed tiger, and we know all about stuffed tigers around here, named Jumbo. Have you seen Jumbo, John?
Yes.
All right. So Dylan Cardwell sent Mira a video wishing her a happy birthday, and Jumbo popped up and wished her a happy birthday too, and that was really awesome. So I wanted to thank Dylan Cardwell for sending out birthday wishes to Mira. That really kind of made a big splash yesterday during our having the cake and
that was nice
stuff. Yeah, that was cool. All right. So meanwhile, there's another sport. I don't know if you've heard Auburn play sometime called this is the tackle football variety. And spring practice.
No idea what you're talking about.
No idea. Yeah, it's just this. Yeah, it's like a grid iron, and you have to get 10 yards to make a first down, I think. You might not have heard about it because it kind of got buried under all the
potatoes
over the last, you know, couple of years. But they're digging it out now, and spring practice is underway. So what do we make of that?
We had a press conference this afternoon. They had not a full scale scrimmage last Friday, but kind of a situational scrimmage where they ran through some stuff. So Freeze talked to the media today, and there's been continued media availability and some practice windows to look at stuff. And he said a few things today, which are interesting. I think, you know, again, I think we've had six practices total with the new staff. Okay. So
right.
Any analysis beyond a certain level is, is work looking for stuff to do. But he said today the quarterbacks and wide receivers have a long way to go. Yeah. And that's not a shock,
no.
You know, based on what we know about the roster and how new some of these players are and that where some of these players are developmentally. But also, like, I think in terms of what his and the coaching staff's expectations are about those groups of players and what they need to do.
The whole we got a long way to go thing, I mean, it's honest. It's also depressing a little bit. But, I mean, I think it's just that we don't have a quarterback on our current roster who is currently playing the way that the coach wants them to play. Now, that's not to say that they can't or won't. They just currently aren't. Does that seem about...
That's fair.
Yeah.
Well, but I mean, yeah, I think it's fair. And I'm also like, it's March 20th, so I'm not going to panic about the fact that nobody's playing at the level that... You know, the all SEC level, the coach wants the quarterback to play at or whatever.
Well, here's the question of the hour, and this has come up several times. I may have even asked it to you before. Is the 2023 starting quarterback game one currently in Auburn, Alabama on the roster right as we speak? I think that's a 50-50 question, honestly, right now.
Yeah, I'm hesitating because I think it is 50-50. Yeah. And when I see questions, when I see comments like, long way to go, my answer is no.
Right.
Right?
Right. Yeah. No, I know. I mean, but I guess, I mean, we're going to have another chance to take somebody. They're just not going to have as much time to work with the team as if they'd, you know, yes. come in earlier, January, whatever, earlier. But, yeah, it just doesn't say. Well, one of the big disturbing things is that word out of practice so far is that the best quarterback has been T.J. Finley. I mean,
here's a question back for you, Van Plexico.
I don't have facts to back this up.
How are you going to react if the starting quarterback that runs onto the field in the first game of the Hugh Freeze era is T.J. Finley?
Well, there's two ways I could react, John. One is I will probably just
smoke weed every day.
That's a very likely, very likely reaction.
Won't be the only one.
But what I'll be saying while I'm doing it is,
No! I'm devastated. I'm devastated. They're celebrating right in front of me. This is the worst. This is the worst.
Last no just gets me every time. I'm not quite sure who was celebrating right in front of us because T.J. Finley was a starting quarterback. Maybe his family. Maybe it's his family. T.J. jogs out on the field. T.J. jogs out on the field for that first play, and we're all like, no! No! And
I was going to be really mean, but I'm not.
And his family's right there in front of us celebrating, and I'm like, they're celebrating right in front of me! No! Oh, well, the real answer to who the starting quarterback's going to be is...
Someone knows. God knows.
That's the answer. Fair. Yeah.
All right. The other things we've learned from the coach in the press conference today is that he said the one position group that's definitely improved since last season is the linebackers.
Yeah.
And I think that's good news. And I think, again, we got a bunch of experienced transfers in there, so I'd expect that group to play well and be good.
And we've always known that Wesley Steiner had the potential. If they can get the full potential out of him, that would be great.
Sure. And the other guy they talked about, he identified a couple of guys as being good leaders today. And the one guy he talked about as a player was Rodgers, the big defensive lineman from Kentucky, the big nose guard. Okay. He said that guy's going to be a difference maker. He's going to have to be double teamed a lot, and that's going to help. He also said we have a long way to go at talent-wise at the edge pass rusher position.
Oh, boy.
We need better players there. And he's saying that Falk, the Kendrick Falk, the true freshman, is the kind of guy we need. But I think he said he's basically saying, like, we need a lot more guys like that.
Yeah. It's one of those things where when you put one guy like that on the team, suddenly all the others are like, when your whole team is made up of 5-foot guys and you bring in a 6-foot guy, suddenly the 5-foot guys look different. You know what I mean? Now you're kind of wanting more 6-foot guys. Then you bring in a 7-foot guy and you're like, oh, the 6-foot guys look different suddenly. Now you want more 7-foot guys. That's just how it's going to work. Yeah, no doubt about it.
It's truth.
Did you see the receivers? There was some talk about the receivers that, Is it Martyr, the big tall guy? Or is that, there's mm-hmm. a two? Okay. Apparently, not the greatest hands. He can get open, but not catching everything.
We've been down this road.
Yeah. We've brought in a lot. I think Auburn has brought in way more than our fair share of experiments at receiver that were supposed to be the latest, greatest, and ended up catching two passes and never being seen again.
I mean, this guy caught 60 passes or whatever to Hawaii, so he can actually catch the football.
They probably threw him 180, though, but yeah, that's fine.
Well,
it's Hawaii.
Maybe he had a better quarterback at the time.
That's true. It's entirely possible. And a better offense. Well, not a better offense because we don't even know what our offense is. But you know what I mean? He was in an offense where they throw the ball every play, basically. It was like that. Yeah. That was at Hawaii. Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing you talked about is the one thing you absolutely don't want in spring practice is injuries and guys getting hurt. And so Tate Johnson, an offensive lineman, and Malcolm Johnson, a wide receiver, are both out with injuries right now. So that's not good news, but I mean, they're not, you know, definite starters or anything. So that's a good thing, but it's also, you don't want to see anybody get hurt in the spring.
So. No. So we're going to find out more soon, right?
Yeah, big scrimmage this Friday. I mean, the other scrimmage last Friday was more situational. This is like real regular football kind of scrimmage, and I think we'll know a lot more after that happens.
Yeah, good deal. All right, well, so we'll find out more. That's basketball and football. We got to pause here and thank the patrons who keep our program on the air. We do not do ads, but what we do is have a lot of fun. In addition to doing this here show every week, John and I, and we did our video special last week. We hope that you all enjoyed watching us eat the Reaper Madness and suffering the repercussions of that. That was a lot of fun. I haven't quite gotten it out and used it again yet, but I'm gonna. The next time the opportunity presents itself, I'm gonna bring it out and try it again. On something that we have. Maybe the next time we get Mexican food, I may very well do that. But we do have a lot of fun. We just did our NCAA brackets. They're up now, so we'll see how that's going along. You have the numbers on that. Do you want to talk about that for just a minute, or you got it up in front of you?
I do. I could talk about that before we thank the patrons. So we have a number of entries.
Well, let me clarify. This is one of the things the patrons get to do. So if you are a patron of the show, you get to go and fill out a bracket. And it's kind of too late now, but you missed out. But you can do it next year. And we do a number of things like this all year long at www.auwishbone.com. Go to www.auwishbone.com. Click on the big orange button to become a patron. And then when you get to the patron, it'll take you to the Patreon site. And that's where you can find all the information on the various things that we do. Fired up.
Yes. So before I get to who's actually leading, let me point out that Van is tied for 10th. It is the name of his bracket is Reaper Madness Survivor.
Question mark.
And then a few spots behind him is 2023 Bowl Pick'em Champion Boris the Tiger's burner account. Then Boris the Tiger a little bit further down, and then me.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to say what place I'm in, but further down. But so at the top of the bracket,
yes,
in the 99th percentile of everyone on ESPN.com is Carl Von Drucker.
Hey, Carl.
His bracket is called What the Hail. and then somebody else whose bracket is called Wendell's Green Beans, followed by Jay Schumann. Somebody whose bracket is called Squeaky Sneakers 1. Mm. So the interesting thing is we got three people who are at the top, but all of their championship teams are out.
Yep.
So then we have two people tied for fourth who both have Gonzaga.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then you get to you skip all the way down to seventh. We got Todd Gray has Kansas State. Clay Henson has Alabama.
I love that Clay's bracket is called I Hope I'm Wrong. God bless you
so much, Clay.
God Amen. Bless you, Clay. And we all agree.
And Josh Corbett has Houston. So it may come down to which of those teams wins the whole thing to determine the winner. It's pretty exciting.
And if you see that the first person in points that has Houston is Josh at number 9, who's the next person that has Houston?
That would be Van Plexico.
That would be. So it could come down to Josh and me if Houston wins out, and we'll see. Yeah, so we'll see what happens. And it was really cool to me, I thought, that we have like 60-something people playing this year. That's awesome.
We have 63 entries, which I'm very excited about. Thank you all for entering, and I enjoy doing a bracket pool, and this is fun. I want to point out a couple of the fun bracket names.
Yeah.
Winston B's bracket name is Dodge, Duck, Dip, Dive, Dodge. and Auburn Elvis's bracket is I Failed Math in 5 States.
There you go.
And then Chris Thrash's bracket name is Chris Moore's Bloody Chin.
Oh, ouch. Yeah. There's one that's Boris Was Lucky. Boris took that very personally.
There's one that Jeff may have called God Wills It in all caps.
That's right. Defense with some fouling, says Stephen Houston. That's a really good one.
Defense with some fouling.
That's really good. There's some really good ones on here.
Yeah,
there's a lot of others too, but those are really good.
George Gaston's bracket is pick winners every day.
Oh, every day. There it is. Yep. So we do enjoy the very clever names for the brackets. All right, let me find where we are. There we are, back on the camera. I had the bracket open and I couldn't see you. All right, so yeah, just go to www.auwishbone.com to become part of the fun. You get to name yourself whatever you want, and I thank everybody that does it, and I read what you put on here. So here and now are the fine folks currently supporting the show for as little as $1 a month, though we appreciate whatever you're able to do. They include Samuel Salvatore, Phil Amthor, the new soundboard clip. Phil Amthor.
No!
Okay, that's good. We got a little taste of it. Gotta keep it fresh there, Phil.
I love that sound clip.
Yes. Boris the Tiger's burner account. Boris is still not sure how he feels about having a burner account on here. Carl Von Drunker, who's currently leading. Chris and Clinton Stewart. Logan Chilton, Van and John say no more Jones barbecue, and I say no. And I say
no.
I can see where this is going, John. This is in about 2 weeks, you're going to be so sick of the no thing that you're not going to want me to play it anymore. I love it. Ann Kanjian, Bill Weathers. Oh, welcome aboard. Excuse me, I got a cough. Bradley Blackman, Daniel Odom. Eric Morgan, you do not want to have voice problems when you're trying to do the list of patrons. That's very bad because it's not short. Gary Grant, a.k.a. AU Fan at KSC, Matthew Flowers, Michael Kirscher, Richard Stevens, Steve Trawick, Susan Trawick, Trombone Tiger, Willie Carden. Here's the old...
Tonight's forecast. A freeze is coming.
I love it. That's such a good combination. Also, 76 Tiger Esquire, Sleazy Shyster, and Health Inspector Liaison for...
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage!
It's back! Alex Brown's Basketball Season plus the Basketball Book, a winning combination since 2022. Yeah, it's unfortunately, it's time to move along now. I hate that because I really enjoyed that name on there all this season. Ben Bloodworth, Bleeds Orange and Blue, Chris Hilton, Chris Thrash, Clay Henson, Dan Thompson, Earl Ricks, Bobby, Hope Springs Eternal. I've got a feeling for Szechuan healing. I don't know. I don't know what that means. Sound like something from...
I appreciate it, though.
It sounded like something from Iron Chef, honestly. Okay, always Mark wants me to insert a random sound clip. I think that's Mark. And I'm going to go... You know what? I'm going to go this time with...
Freeze. Freeze. Ice. Freeze. Ice. Winter. Forever. Frozen. Ice. Freeze. Winter. Ice. Ice. Freeze. Winter. Winter. Freeze. Cold. Frosty.
The Frosty at the end. That's so
like
good.
Like he's in the order line at Wendy's. Frosty!
I'll put that on my phone soundboard and just play it over the drive through. Jacob and Robin Fleming, Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Lane Middleton, Life is Pain, War Eagle Anyway. They must have updated that one since the tournament game. Logan, Mickey B, No One Fights Like Gaston, Algo Rhythm and Blues, Paul Miles, Reynolds Wolf, Rich Reimer, Spring Football Has Begun, And
tonight's forecast, a freeze is coming.
I want you to put the word out there that we back up. Understand me? We back up.
Plus, Steve Harlan, Theodore Gary, Warhammer 6, WDE Richie, Freeze plus White Walker equals Winter is Coming, and he added extra instructions to the end of his name after all of what I just said. He then says to play
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage
just to annoy John.
Thank you. Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. There you go. Wes Atkinson, William Morgan, Wilson Beard, Wynn Carroll, Winston Boddy, Auburn Blue, Blake Heron, Boris the Tiger, Brandon Smith, Carter Glaus, Colby Butler, Corey Smyer, David D., David Simpson, Die Bama, Hugh Anderson, Hugo Sleaze's Guinness World Record, first and only person ever outsmarted by Houston Nutt. Wow, that's strong. John asked for a cap, insert sound clip Avengers theme. I don't have that one currently on the board, but it would be something like da da dum da da dum da 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 dum da da dum da 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 dum. There you go. Josh Teal, just wait till next year. Kevin Mahan, Luther and Kelly Ottaway, Melissa Blackstone, on to victory. Papa Todd, Patrick Williams, and our one-time and anonymous donors. Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Russell Milling, Sarah Hines, Sasquatch, Shane Bailey, Shannon Butson, Stephen Houston, Tim Pittman, Timothy, Tony Perry, Wiggle 87, at the Mad Reaper Pepper Company on Instagram. There they are, our old buddies. I hope that they enjoyed our entire episode just about their product. Alex Nguyen, Ben Amos, Ben Regas, Brian Albanese, Charles Mooney, Chris Como, Chris Braun, Colonel Dad, a.k.a. Ari Benzane, I'm missing my category, Mr. Construction Tiger, and finally, Daniel Barnett, Daniel Witten, Darren Pyle, Elizabeth Donald, Escort Hugh Freeze elsewhere. We
gotta get better at celebrating.
I'll buy this for a dollar. James Taylor, Jason the Weasel Skull Albrecht, Jeremiah Schumann, Jim Ricori, Janai Broom shoots free throws better than I do. Well, I don't know. I don't know about that. Joey Miller, Joseph Iliff, JT Jarhead, Justin Bean, Kenneth Brent Rains, The Barbecue.
You have failed me for the last time.
AKA Auburn Dad for Life. Mark Squire, MVP, Captivating Kathy Bright.
Your love of the halfling's leaf has clearly slowed your mind.
Clearly it slowed my mind because I double-clicked on that, and you're only supposed to click on them once, and then I've only clicked on the soundboard about a million times in my life. My bracket is busted, but I am still Tiger exclusive mouse catcher for
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage.
There you go. All right. That's cool. New York Tiger. We have a few new names on here this week. Paul Bankson, Rich Hammett, Royce Alvarez, Russell Souther, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Spanky, I'm at the bottom of this list because
Scott Wilson!
But
laugh for while you can, monkey boy.
That's right. Sports Illustrated's Auburn Elvis, Stephen Thompson, the Slinko family, Tim Sauls, Trevor Johnson, Why Are You Booing John? He's Right, Brant Rumble, plus our one-time and anonymous donors. We thank you all. Go to www.auwishbone.com. The other thing very quickly I want to check in on is we have a Fantasy Formula One league, and I'm just going to hit the top five here because I'm not even in the top 10 right now. Oh, but Boris the Tiger F1 is in eighth place, so that's very exciting. Tiger Transit is at number one. Teamy McTeamface, number two. Cheeky Nando's at three. Aubie Mobile at four. Sir Bacon the First is at number five. So, John, you and I are not really in the top, 10, basically. Not good so far.
It's early, Van.
It is early.
But we got to get back and work on the team strategy and then come out and do better.
I couldn't have more Red Bull on my team than I do, and yet how am I not number one? I don't understand, because I guess everybody's got their team loaded full of Red Bull. The whole league is run by energy drinks this year. So, all right, if you want to play the Fantasy Formula One, you're only two races behind, so you got 21 more races to go, plenty of time to catch up. Just go to www.auwishbone.com, click on the orange button, become a patron, and you can find the post from just like a month ago where I gave all the instructions and the code on how to get in and become part of the fan. You get two teams in the Fantasy Formula One game. All right. Let's see. Is it time for Guess the Game?
Bring it on.
Let's do it.
Hello, Van, John, the rest of the AU Wishbone family. This is Jared Albrecht, the Yard Sale Artist, here with Guess the Game 84. Guess the Game 84 is brought to you by listener Brendan O'Dwyer. So let's get to it.
Auburn first and 10 at the Tiger 22. Here's having a sensational first half. Tigers lead it 21 to nothing. Three wideouts to the left, one to the right. He's got back there as a blocker. Going to load up the shotgun. There's the snap. The pressure, and he throws the down this near side, catches it, breaks a tackle at the 50, 40. He's at the 30, the 20. He's gone. Touchdown, Auburn! 78 yards. Having an unbelievable day.
Okay, I'll see you guys in the hint file.
All right, the announcer was
Jim Fife. So that was a very clear Jim Fife. That was like recorded live in the booth with him or something. That sounded really good.
That was a different sounding audio clip. So the time frame for Jim Fife, though, is?
Around 81 to 2002, thereabout, something like that. Yeah.
Okay. A game where Auburn was winning 21 to nothing, and then while up 21 to nothing, had four wide receivers in and threw
in the shotgun. So it wasn't like it wasn't early Pat Dye. Not that it sounded like early Pat Dye. It sounded like it much was, later.
It was Bowden or later,
yes.
For sure.
Yeah.
But up 21-0 threw a 78-yard touchdown pass.
Yeah. I mean, and said somebody was having a really good game in terms of passing the quarterback. It yes. sounded like, right? The first game that comes to my mind where we had a quarterback go out and really light somebody up passing. The first one that comes to my mind was it 94 at Mississippi State? Patrick Nix to like Frank Sanders and the other really good receivers on that team, maybe.
Could be.
Because I think that was the game that was the first time I came to a Mississippi State game and you were there too. Remember that? I think that was 94.
I remember us going to the game together. I do not remember the game.
I think it was 94 because I think it was the Jackie Sherrill, and they were supposed to beat us, or it was supposed to be close, and we just beat their brains in. Okay. Or maybe, well, wait a minute. If it was Jackie Sherrill, what was the year that Tuberville rang it up on Jackie Sherrill? Was that maybe 01? I mean, yeah. We kind of struggled in 01, but maybe we had a couple of really good games in 01. And that would be a lot more recent for Fife. We didn't have any games where we lit up like that in two. The 2000 game like that, well, I don't know why I'm thinking Mississippi State, but for some reason that just kind of comes out in my brain, but it could have been a different team.
Okay. Is there a 93 or 94 game that this could be?
Mississippi State, 94. I guess a Stan White game in 93, but I think we always came from behind in 93.
I think about the Florida and Alabama games.
Those were too close.
Maybe there's a game where we absolutely – you know, boat race somebody in those years, and I can't remember.
Well, 95, we put some big numbers up. Like the Tennessee-Chattanooga game, we won like 76-6 or something like that.
What about a Damian Craig game?
That would have been really nice.
The defense was so bad, I don't know if we were ever up 21 to nothing.
No, yeah. There must have been a game in 2001 or 2002, though, that we... I think we have to go to the hint file. I just don't have enough information.
Yeah, let's go to the hint file. In 2002, we had some offense.
Yeah, but a lot of it was running, though.
Yeah, it's fair.
All right, let's go to the hint file. I just don't have enough information.
Here we are in the hint file. Let's get rid of some of those bleeps.
Auburn first and 10 at the Tiger 22. Here's Ben Leard. Having a sensational
Georgia.
First half, Tigers lead it 21 to nothing.
Georgia.
Three wideouts to the left.
Is this Ronnie
One
Daniels?
To the right. He's
99.
Got Evans back there as a blocker.
Georgia 99.
Going to load up the shotgun. There's the snap. Pressure, and he throws to Daniels. Down this near side, catches it, breaks a tackle at the 50-40. He's at the 30, the 20. He's gone. Touchdown, Auburn!
Yeah.
78 yards. Leard to Daniels. Ben Leard having an unbelievable day.
All right, guys, I will see you in the answer file.
I honestly thought about this game when we were talking about it, but I thought Georgia had scored.
Yeah. Before
it earlier in that game,
yeah,
I didn't think it was 21 to nothing. That's what,
or 28 to nothing, I guess, at that point.
Yeah, it was 28 to nothing after that pass. So,
man, good times, good days.
Listen, we should just play that game on a loop.
Oh, Good Lord. And it's and the funny thing is, it's not like they were a terrible Georgia team and we were a great Auburn
team. That was
a
good team.
That was a 5-6 Auburn team. In fact, going into that game, they had 4 wins. Auburn had 4 wins going into that game. And that was a ranked Georgia team, if I recall correctly.
Yes, they were a good team, and we boat raced
them. Destroyed them. And Jason Campbell was in the stands watching. Recruit. 4- or 5-star recruit from Mississippi, Jason Campbell, was in the stands. He went to 2 games that year for recruiting. LSU, and where we beat him like 41-7 in Baton Rouge, and Georgia, both away, both road games. LSU brought Jason Campbell in to watch them beat us, and we crushed them. And then Georgia brought Jason Campbell in to watch them beat us, and we crushed them. And Jason Campbell's like, I'm going to Auburn. Who could blame him after that, man? No doubt.
All right, let's play the answer. It's 99 yeah. Georgia.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely 99 Georgia, and it did kind of run through my mind momentarily, but for some reason I got fixated on Mississippi State, so.
All right, John, Van, if you guys figured out that this is the Georgia game from 1999, then you guessed right. I want to thank Brendan O'Dwyer for sending that in. If you'd like to be like Brendan and send in a play for Guess the Game, there's a few ways you can do that. I am at Yard Sale Artist, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. It is all at Yard Sale Artist. Or you can email me directly at www.theyardsaleartist.com. Until next time, Van, John, Wriggle.
You know, John, I think if I were not a part of this show and I was a listener, I would just get a copy of We Believe Volume 1 and just dig through it and find some games that Jared hasn't gotten sent in before, hadn't been sent to Jared before.
I like it.
I think there's still ones out there.
There are. I wanted to thank Jared and Brendan. That was a good one.
That was a good one. Tough. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I just didn't have enough, that first clue in retrospect, yeah, but it just didn't have enough. I think that we were on the right track, though, that it was later, right? Because 99 sounds different on audio from, like, yes. 91 or 80-something.
Yes.
It does. So,
that was an amazingly clear audio track for 99, though.
Where did he get that from? Jared, you let us know. Jared always, he listens and corresponds. Where did you get that from? Because, I mean, or where did the person who sent it in, if I don't know who produced it. I don't know if Jared found it or if somebody sent it to him. But I'm curious now. But, I'm surprised. Has anybody ever sent in the 3-2 Mississippi State game? Since we're talking about Mississippi State.
I don't think so.
That's an interesting one. That'd be an interesting one. All right. Moving on along. We got a couple of stops left on the train before we take it back into the garage for another week. And I guess we got to go over to the House of Commons.
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone Podcast.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
All right. What do we got in the old mailbag this week, John?
We are serious. All right. First question is from Ryan Brown, who says, I have 2 topics, but they go together. Part 1. What do you guys think about doing a report card at the conclusion of every football and basketball season? What areas would we grade on? And these are his suggestions. Recruiting and roster management, player development, in-game management and execution, win percentage and postseason success, and external PR and representing the school.
Interesting. Well, that's a very comprehensive set of things to evaluate for sure. I don't think I could do better than that.
No, I think if we did this kind of stuff, those are the right things. And then it's, in my mind, it's always kind of the in-game management and execution gets to this along with player development. But did you get the most out of what you had? Kind of like some of the basketball discussion we were having.
Right.
And then part 2 of his question is, I'd say the basketball staff did a pretty good coaching job considering the talent we had on the roster. However, I'd say they either misassessed and or had bad luck at the guard position over the last 2 recruiting cycles.
Yeah.
I added a list of guys that below that we talked to but slipped on, not always the coach's fault, including Trey Alexander and Eric Stevenson, who all had a pretty good year. Thankfully, based on his comments after the game, it sounds like Bruce is aware and hyper-focused on fixing the roster.
It did sound like that.
Good season. I'm glad it's over, War Eagle. So these are some guys that – Ryan Brown put an email again to Trey Alexander. He committed to Auburn, signed with Auburn, and asked to be released after we got KD Johnson. He shot 42.8% from three-point field goal range and made 80% of his free throws. He's the star at Creighton, played in that game this weekend.
Okay.
Desi Sills has had trouble transferring to Auburn.
Where did he end up? Stayed at Missouri?
I thought he stayed at yes, I think he did. And then Eric Stevenson, who went to South Carolina, 43% from three, 38% from three, 43% from the field, 79% free throws. So, and that, you know, those are better than the numbers that our guards put up for the most part. So, and I think that's interesting. I think that scenario did happen where we thought we were going to get those guys and it didn't work.
Well, I will say this, though. For all that we love to have the best players we can possibly get, I don't take anything away from Wendell and KD. If nothing else, they've been such a joy to have on the team and so much fun to watch. And Wendell's just been a rock shooting free throws. And KD is such an engine driving the whole machine that I have appreciated them. If they don't ever play for us anymore, that's fine. But I sure have. I've enjoyed having them as Auburn basketball players. I'll put it that way.
That's fair. All right. Our next email is from Lance Duke. The title is Reflecting on the Basketball Season. And he says, BP knew what he had at the beginning of the season. He projected us in the middle of the conference. I think we all expected Chance Westry to be a solid contributor, but injury kept him out of the lineup. I think we all expected Johan Trehor to fill a significant role. For whatever reason, that didn't pan out this season. Trey Donaldson seemed to just get going as the season came to an end. Broom was obviously a significant part of success this season. So of four newcomers, only one contributed significantly.
That's right.
Add to these returning next season, still unknown with Williams and Flanagan with decisions to make, the recruits BP has coming in, tossed in a couple of grad transfers, and there's every reason to feel good about next season and the trajectory of our Auburn basketball team.
Oh, yeah. And the only thing that would make me feel even better than what he just said is if Alabama's players go to the NBA and their coach gets hired by a real basketball school and or goes to jail or both.
Kentucky.
Yeah.
Kentucky should hire Nate Oates tomorrow.
They should. And you know what? I mean, that's fine because Kentucky's going to be a pain in the butt anyway. Might as well let him go there and kind of combine the two streams into one stream, right? You know what I mean? And just go do that, yeah. Although I would want him to go to – I would like him to go to, like, Kansas or North Carolina or UCLA or Outer Mongolia, anywhere far, far away that we don't have to play him every year. And I'm not saying that as a compliment to him. I just don't like him. I just want him gone.
Fair. All right, our next email is from Cato.
Yes.
Who says, rough weekend, fellas. Yeah. I'm sure you've already covered basketball extensively. Baseball was swept by Arkansas with the closest margin of defeat being 5 runs. And softball went 1-4 in the Omni Hall of Fame Classic. Our only win was against a terrible Weber State team. We've lost to number one Oklahoma twice with a combined score of 21-1, getting run ruled in the process. While Oklahoma is obviously extremely good, Northwestern is not. They were 9-7 coming into the weekend, and we went 0-2 against them. Hate to be a downer, but it does feel like all the optimism of last November across basically all sports has lost a bit of shine since then. Cato, the LLLLLL loser, one L for every Auburn loss this weekend. And he says, P.S., I would repeat my usual mantra of fire Mickey Dean, but given Cohen's track record so far, he's probably going to hire Corey Myers to replace him.
It was
a tough weekend for the rest of Auburn sports.
I have heard that. Yeah, I didn't follow it too closely, but I do know that the women winning a first round game in the NIT has been like one of the highlights, along with us winning a basketball first round game. So in the NCAA tournament. So
that's right.
And I'm glad they did.
And our last email is from Bill Miner, who says the title is Basketball Next Year. He says, guys, first, it still amazes me we hardly had a great team and still won a first-round game and had a first-half lead against a top-three team. Kudos to making the most of the opportunity. He says, looking ahead, I'll be curious how the portal will be for basketball. Obviously, a smaller roster and playing both offense and defense make it challenging. If you could take the place of either Pearl or Freeze, which coach would you rather be and what would your sales pitch be?
So I could either be the basketball coach or the football coach, and what would my what would my sales pitch be? I mean, he makes a good point, and we've talked about this before, that the thing about basketball is that, that the lineup is so much smaller in terms of number of people, and there's so much turnover that, you know, you can have a team that's a Final Four team one year, not even the tournament the next year, and then national champion the next year in basketball, honestly. And football, it's not usually that irregular. The peaks and valleys, unless you're Auburn, right? We have a history of that. But most programs are a little more smoother trajectory than, you know, the seismograph that we get. But I don't know. I mean, obviously I like football better than basketball. I enjoy basketball very much, but I like football better. But on the other hand, it seems like as a basketball coach, there's I don't know how to exactly to put it. It seems like you're a little more hands-on in terms of, like, you're right there yelling at the players, telling them what to do during the game. You know, well, football coaches to a degree can do that, but not quite the same way, you know.
And, no,
not the same. And it's a smaller group of people. It's more like a little family. There's a lot to like about it. You know, there's a lot to like about being a basketball coach, it seems like to me.
I think from the – if again, in this scenario, you're either Bruce Pearl or Hugh Freeze, right?
Okay.
And I think Bruce Pearl could walk into living rooms and go, look, I'm turning on NBA draft picks.
Yeah.
You want a shot at that?
That's a fair point.
Come to Auburn.
Okay. So you're saying specifically those people, then, yeah.
For right now. Those people in their position, what would your sales pitch be? And I think Bruce Pearl could say, look,
I'll put you in the NBA.
We're churning out draft picks. We're reloading this roster and going right back to the top of the SEC. If you want on board, now's the time.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, Freeze may very well get to that same kind of point, but it's going to take a while, and it seems like it's a lot bigger of a process, so many more people involved, so much more time and effort and work. Yeah, so.
I think that's the other part of the Freeze thing. Like, he's at the bottom of the mountain looking up at Georgia and Alabama and knowing we got to push the rock all the way up the hill to get there. And
right.
That's a long build.
It is long. I think he can do it, but he has the potential to do it. But, yeah, it's a long haul. So, all right. That all the questions for this week?
That's it for the emails?
We have one little tidbit, so we'll crank up the Aubiemobile.
Beep, 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 beep.
Let's take a trip around the FTC.
There's my birthday girl. 15 yesterday, John. 15.
Since I'm 15.
I know. does on the, she does the thing coming up here in about 3 minutes. And sounds very different. And even that was a couple of years ago. So, but yeah, that's going to live forever. So
this is breaking news that came out right before the podcast.
Yes.
So Nick Saban tonight announced that he is suspending starting defensive back Tony Mitchell. Mm-hmm. And he said specifically in his comment when he suspended him, there is no such thing as being in the wrong place at the wrong time.
That's... Do you think he knew?
Oh, this is shots fired. This is Nick Saban looking at Nate Oates and saying, you're embarrassing this university by being a muttonhead.
Wow. So we're talking up there Kentucky football versus basketball coach fight from a couple of months ago.
Oh, yes.
Oh, wow. Well, if Oates finishes the deal, maybe he'll be the one looking down at Saban for a little while. I don't want that to happen. Lord knows the last thing. Somebody put it so well. Somebody on Twitter a couple of days ago put it so well. They said, I just want Auburn to be good at something that Alabama's not. Why do they have to come in, you know, and ruin everything? Why do they have to come in and mess with our thing? It sucks.
All right, we're at the end of the podcast, but I want to take 2 minutes to have this conversation, okay? We had a conversation earlier about how we felt about this season and this team and their level of success. If Alabama sucked this year, instead of being one of the best two or three teams in the country, how does that change your perception of Auburn's success this season? If they were terrible and they were dreaming of making the NCAA tournament, would you be like, yeah, it was good?
Right, because what Alabama traditionally does is obediently lose early in the tournament no matter how good they are.
Yes.
They've never been to the Final Four. I think they've only been to the Elite Eight once.
That's right.
They've never been to the Final Four. And so I need them to go ahead and do their choke job and go away. And for God's sake, don't win anything. Because that's our thing now. It's our thing. And I don't like them coming along and trying to one-up us at our own thing, right? They don't like us being good at football. I don't want them being good at basketball. I just don't. And I mean, I see their basketball team coming along and I say...
There they are. Are they not a shame on their country?
Yeah.
Are they not a disgrace to all civilized beings?
Yes, that's exactly what I say. So, yeah, they need to hurry up and lose and not win anything else. But they got a cakewalk of a bracket now.
Or do they?
Well...
I don't have facts to back this up.
But I thought... But if you want to go ahead and...
Dispel once and for all with this fiction.
Then go ahead, because I thought they kind of like all the good teams in their bracket lost out. In fact, John, the entire left side of my bracket is done except for Alabama. They are the only team in the Sweet 16 of the eight teams coming out of the left side of my bracket, right? You know, you got 32 teams on one side and 32 teams on the other, and we pared it down to eight on each side now. And of the eight on the left side, I've got Alabama and then XXXXXXX. Whereas on the right side of my bracket, I've got X and then 7 correct. So even though they're the only one left that I have, I want them to lose.
I was incorrect. They play San Diego State.
Oh my God. And then like Fairleigh Dickinson or FAU or somebody, right? Aren't they in that one?
I think they're in the bracket with Kansas State.
Okay.
I think that's the team that they
God bless you, Kansas State. The whole world is depending on you to get the job done. All right. Any final thoughts before we wrap up for this week?
Listen, I was wrong.
Oh, breaking news again.
Breaking news.
John is consulting literature as we try to wrap up the show, and he's correcting himself.
The other side of, God, this is going to make you so mad. The other side of Alabama's bracket is Creighton and Princeton.
See? That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. I hate them.
Is it going to make it sweeter when they lose to San Diego State, though, after having this cream puff schedule way out in front of them? And they're like, ooh, go put that non-refundable deposit down for the Final Four, honey.
Well, Jacob, going to have to sell another kid's kidney. Leroy, come over here. Bring the rusty knife. Time to sell another kidney for the Tide.
Lord. We're off reservation now.
That took a dark turn. All right, well, we just got to hope that one of those teams that's crap that has to play Alabama is going to...
And March Madness, let's shock the world.
That's what we need you guys to do. We're all to quote Wonder Woman's theme song, all the world is waiting for you.
Amen.
There you go. All right.
Can you tell we want Alabama to lose?
We really want Alabama to lose. On that note, I think we're going to get out of here. You're good to go. We wrapped up. We done. All right. Amen. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @auwishbone and at facebook.com/auwishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone podcast.